It's good to see we've followed the correct defence riding conventions. We've stuck the Royal Air Force at the back, younger service and all that. Lucky for me, eh? Okay, so I'm going to talk a bit about the Air Warfare Skills perspective. It's going to sound a lot like all about me. One person in the right place at the right time, I suppose. I teach in the basic air warfare course, so I teach the Phase 1 officer cadets who are coming through Cranwell as part of their training to become fully fledged Air Force officers. Go us. Now, I'm not trying to say that we don't already do wargaming within the Air Warfare School in general. There are problems, however. We actually have a squadron leader wargames role, SR2 Wargames. He manages the Storm Wargames computer system that's used. It is, however, underutilised. It's only used for three courses within the Air Warfare School itself. The Air Operations Planning course, to send 1,000 aircraft into battle against another 1,000 as part of the operational planning process. And it produces a beautiful spreadsheet to work out PK over time, how many aircraft have been shot down. We also use it within the Air Warfare Fundamentals course, and we use it on the BOC, the Basic Air Warfare course itself. It could be used an awful lot more, but I'm not obviously talking about Storm. Is it the right tool for the job, though? It produces a beautiful spreadsheet. We've got officer cadets who are doing operational planning for their final exercise as part of the two-week learning how the RAF fights a war, and picked a spreadsheet of you sent X number of aircraft in, one got shot down, you destroyed one, and there's no real outcome for the cadets. But they all really want to win. They want to have the best operational plan that has the best outcome. So they're really excited about these spreadsheets. Also, there's a requirement for the right people. I'm very fortunate. My chain of command is incredibly interested in gamified learning, in the applications of how we could use wargaming for the course itself. Now, this is where I step in. So about 8 months ago, looking to design a war game, Winged Exile it's called, which we'd be able to use as a recruitment tool for airspace battle managers, a trade within the Air Force which is really struggling to recruit people. People just don't understand that there are those who really want to stay in a bunker and manage an air war over the UK, doing defence of the United Kingdom. So where could we step in and encourage people to give this a go? Well, let's produce a war game. Send it out to air cadet units, the UAS, the University Air Squadrons, so they can actually have a go at planning and fighting an air war. And we have trialled this with cadet units on the Qualified Airspace Instructors course at Boscombe Down, for example. And there's nothing quite like watching a team of four air cadets, two 14-year-old boys and two 15-year-old girls, talking about the ideal placement of FLADS, Future Local Anti-Air Defence System, where they should place it to guard an airfield, or up threat to force the enemy to take a specific direction of travel. And if we can get the air cadets to start thinking about how we could fight an air war and plan to do air operations, we can use this in somewhere else. So it was identified by my colleagues that actually this game that I've been building could be used within the BOC. Now that was my secret aspiration, but had no potential push into the training manifold. But because they identified it and went along and accepted that this has significant potential value, we've been looking at how we can use it in the BOC itself to teach the officer cadets. It's a relatively simple game. It's been built as a PDF that anyone can download. It has all the components, maps, rules there that anyone can access and go fight an air war. Isn't that a useful tool? So that in itself is the map that comes with it. It's just a genric air war. No nations. Now here's where the challenge comes in. The very first version had British assets, and the Red Force had a certain nation that sits out just past the Baltic States as Red. Convenient. But one of the lessons we identified when we were trialling this initially with the officer cadets was they learned more about using the RAF assets playing this game. So why have a Red Air Force that has flankers or PAC-FA when we can give them Typhoons and Lightning as well, so they can actually, so both sides can learn how the Royal Air Force will operate without having to worry about someone else's country and someone else's components that we may have no idea of how their systems actually operate or to the standards they will operate, when we need to learn how we will fight, never mind how someone else will. Now, the BOC itself has a bit of a challenge. Bit of audience participation. Hands up if you think the aircraft on the right as you're looking at it is a Tornado. Most of the people? So actually, that's about the same spread we get in the BOC. We get some officer cadets who are joining the Air Force who have no idea what an aircraft is, what version is. Now, the aircraft on the right, Tornado, Eurofighter Typhoon. We get some who will tell you what marks we've got, what weapon systems, what radar systems they've got, and are very, very into it. We get some who have no idea what an E3D is and what it does, and they think that's a Eurofighter Typhoon. So we have a spread of candidates that come through who some have a phenomenal understanding of air and the air environment, some who don't understand the basics of what we do and how we operate, which comes back into why this is useful. Now, one of the outcomes of the BOC itself is to work out the operational air estimate, and that's where we already use the wargaming in the course itself already. Now, we trialled this with candidates who, fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, had to repeat phases of RAF Cranwell, and they came back in, and we got the cadets, we gave them the basic game, and challenged them to develop it for their peers. How would you make a game that would benefit you on the basic air warfare course? And we had two officer cadets, in the background of the picture, who went away. They looked at, for example, different weapon systems. They spoke to experts within the Air Warfare Centre and the Air Warfare School and looked at how that could be turned into the game model we already had. They then successfully led the game for their peers. So I taught them how to play, and they were then able to lead a game and run it for peers on the BOC, volunteer officer cadets giving up their time, but also the guys who are in the rehabilitation flight, which was a mixture of non-commissioned air crew and officer cadets who are injured from various terms. And we saw significant benefits from this. Having the student cadre involved was essential to the development of the process as a tool for the basic air warfare course. with them, yes, the development came in leaps and bounds. So much so that as of the last basic air warfare course, which is still running this week, on Friday, just less than a week ago, we ran this game for the first time as part of the basic air warfare course syllabus. So we had two syndicates, broken down into two teams per syndicate, fighting an air war against each other, having to do the simultaneous planning and consideration of what the enemy is doing and what they themselves are doing in response, with asymmetric forces, asymmetric missions. An air war isn't going to be fought directly against another air force unless that's your objective. So giving them that challenge allows them to focus on what they want to do. With that game, they had the rules, and they were able to develop how they wanted to operate. This is an example, for example, composite air operations. One of the feedback from the previous group was that by having a stack of counters and understanding that group of aircraft flying in a formation in a 40 by 40 mile representative block meant that he was confident in talking and during the lesson and during subsequent exercises with actually understanding the fighter sweep, the fighter escorts, the mission package. So this delivery was overwhelmingly successful. Now, I'm the expert that's been creating these games, and I managed to get my fellow instructors leading the syndicates. But it was a challenge. They're not as confident as I am, but that will come with time in delivering on the BOC. Now, as you can imagine, the feedback was, as you expect, overwhelmingly positive. There are still issues, however. For example, with timings, identifying what we actually want to identify as the training outcome of the war game itself, as already raised. We have issues. How does this link back into the key learning objectives? But as part of, for example, our remit, this is how the Royal Air Force says we will do control of the air. That is AP3002. I have an hour and a half lesson to teach the air cadets the fundamentals of control of the air. Now, that works. But again, if you actually have the chance to apply these, you'll potentially learn more than just being told about it. So as part of that, I've also built, for example, a control of the air card game. It's completely different in terms of the map-based board game, but it will still bring out principles of control of the air, of going over enemy territory and doing onto them before they do onto you, or guarding your airspace. Can you win an air war by outlasting the enemy on the defensive? Yes, some people nodding. Oh, absolutely. Battle of Britain is a good example of that. Can you win a war by taking out the enemy before he can do anything to you? Yeah, absolutely. So both methods are valid and both have different merits. So again, how can you bring that into a game system and developing games which play this? Now, that's actually been tested with the cadets on the BOC itself. It will be introduced in the next BOC in October, November, which thanks to Eagle Warrior, we were being kicked out of our normal group area within the Air Warfare School. Thanks, Eagle Warrior. But the future for us is, how can we look at developing more games to get the cadets to utilise the concepts of air power? This is, for example, the air mobility game I'm working on, which is slightly inspired by Pandemic. There, for example, are different assets with different capabilities, and the team will have to work together to deliver resources, personnel around the world, following, for example, all the requirements doctrinally of air mobility, hub and spoke operations, littoral manoeuvre, air-to-air refueling, inter- and intra-theatre mobility. So again, how can we get the cadets to demonstrate and utilise these concepts rather than just talking at them for an hour and a half? This is fundamentally better. There are challenges, however. Right people, if I get posted, will they be able to pick up and run with it? If it's in place and has already been established, yes. If it hasn't, well, unfortunately, there aren't enough of us within the service to carry it on. It needs to be a spiralled implementation process, actually getting the right training documentation, identifying the key learning objectives, what do you want out of this, and then continually updating it with the right information. Again, what's the training goal? What's the point? Is it a game for game's sake, or is it a game for learning? As an educational establishment, we are trying to train our officer cadets in how the Air Force operates. Now, this comes back to part of the problem. IOT, or initial officer training, wants to get an officer cadre at the end. At the moment, though, the training output is geared for officer cadets who can go sit in an airfield doing force protection, can go patrolling, that they can fight an air war by being sat in the airfield guarding it. Is that what we want RAF officers of the future to know? Or do we want them to be able to understand how the RAF will fight? What fifth generation aircraft might bring to the party? How the RAF will operate in the future? But by introducing wargaming early and in the basic phase of training, it will then become second nature to them later through their service career. And indeed, it shouldn't just be the officers. This should be accessible to all ranks so that they can actually understand what they're a part of. So where next? Well, we're going to continue the development of gamified learning across the rest of the fundamental roles of air power. Potentially, of course, the wider implementation, the PDF file that I've been working on to be a universal air combat simulation is almost ready for RAF distribution, should it choose. I myself have been selected for a Chief of the Air Staff Fellowship, shameless plug here, to actually produce a paper on wargaming and air power education. There is beginning to, this academic link is beginning to formulate and being recognised within the wider defence. Now, obviously we had to catch back in time. As a glorious spacey from my time at Fylingdales, I have to stick a picture of the solid state phased array radar in, and I'm glad those at the top appreciated that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Colin.